You are listening to the MZBC Students Greenhouse Podcast. For more information about Mount Zion Baptist Church, go to mzbc.net/students or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at mzbcstudents.
Technical, you're already using your legs. Can you turn the lights on for us real quick? Yeah. All right, one, two, three. Y'all, and that's what it was like when God created, no, I'm just kidding, but really though. Hey, real quick, so everybody, look to your neighbor to your right. Look to your neighbor to your left. All right, and with those neighbors, answer this question. Anyone knows me knows my favorite food is... What? Good one, Shelby. All right, shout them out. What do we got? What do we got? Chicken wing. Pizza. I hear this group, this collection of testosterone right back here in this corner yelling steak. Hot dogs, very good. Who, by show of hands, who's got candy? Yeah, my people. All right. Next question. I saw this on the Facebook today in honor of almost being Valentine's Day. Ow, anybody that knows me knows that I love fill in the blank. Who said Sarah? Ayo, Joey, hey. You know me so well. Jesus, very good. Do it. All right, last question, throw it up there. What is love? I'm interested, everybody, real quick, I'm interested, who would like to give us a definition of what is love? Right there, love, oh, very good. What? Yeah, guys, let's do that. Let's ask Siri. Hey, Siri. Hey, Siri, what is love?
Just a sec. Sorry, I'm having trouble with the connection. Please try again in a moment.
Oh, yeah. I take directions from a British guy because it makes me feel more sophisticated. And that's Siri. Actually, he's Ciro. Hey, all right, some of y'all. Hey, but here's the thing. So tonight, what we want to do is we want to answer this question. We want to answer this question, what is love? Because when we know what love is, that changes everything about our life. When we know what love is, that changes our relationships, that changes our friendships, that changes what we value, what we hold dear, what we love, all those things. When we know what love is. And so for a long time, once upon a time, I was dating this girl. And her name was Sarah. Let's like just chill out for just a second. There was nobody before Sarah that mattered. Truth. Do it. I can't count. Years. All right. So I was dating Sarah, and finally I was at that point where I'm going to go to my father-in-law, and I'm going to ask the question to end all questions. I'm going to go to Mark Anthony Winfield, and I'm going to say, Mr. Mark, I want to marry your daughter, and I'm ready to tell him. And I'm sitting here, and I'm geared up. I'm like, I'm shadow boxing in the back because, I mean, this is a big moment for me. And I go, and I say, Mr. Mark, I would like your permission to ask Sarah to marry me. And he looked at me. He goes, Hunter, why do you want to marry my daughter? And I said, Mr. Winfield. Men, don't forget that. Mr. Winfield, I want to marry Sarah because I love her. And I'm thinking in the back of my mind, like, nailed it, Hunter. Like, yes, did it. And then he looked at me and he said, how do you know that you love her? And I was like, oh, shoot. I was not prepared for this. I think about her a lot. She makes me happy. I want to make her happy. She smells good. All this stuff. Like, and I was so unprepared to answer that question because I did not fully understand the definition of what love truly was. And love is an important definition and an important thing for all of us to understand. If you are a human being in here, please raise your hand. Yeah. If you do not have your hand raised currently, Caleb Cope, if you're not a human, what are you? All right. But listen to me. If you are a human being in here, that means a few things. Number one, that means that you're created in the image of God. If you're a human being, number one, you're created in the image of God. Number two, you have the desire to be loved. And number three, you also have the ability to show love to others. And that's part of the human experience. That's part that everybody here knows. And the danger is when we don't have this definition really figured out, when we don't truly know what love is, a lot of dangerous things happen. We try and start filling that void and try and answer that definition for ourselves. We fill it up with all kinds of things. We fill it up with sports. We fill it up with as many boyfriends or girlfriends as we can have. We fill it up with everything that is going to leave us short. And what we know as believers, as Christians, that we know the answer to this question. We can know what love is. So if you have your Bibles, we're in 1 John chapter 4. We're in 1 John chapter 4, and while you're turning there on the subject of love, this is an important part, an important book written about love. This is written by John, the disciple of Jesus. John in his gospel even said that he was the beloved disciple, that he was a guy that walked with Jesus, that Jesus loved him. He recognized, he felt, he experienced the love of Jesus. And so right here in 1 John, the purpose that he's writing 1 John is he's writing for Christians to walk stronger in their faith. He's writing for Christians to grow in their faith, grow in their knowledge, grow in their trust of the Lord. And one of the key things that he writes about oftentimes throughout 1 John is he writes on the subject of love. And I think that's something that we should all take note of right away, that if we want to grow with God, that love and experiencing his love is going to be one of the first things that we can feel. And so we're talking about figuring out this equation of what is love. And when I think of equations, Shelby, can you bring that thing behind the whiteboard? When I think of equations, and if I'm gonna teach you guys something, an equation of any kind, the thing behind the whiteboard, can you bring that to me? Yeah, awesome. You don't need to be hearing that from some guy in jeans and this swagged out $13 Amazon dry fit hoodie. No. What you need, can you hang out here just for a second for me? Can you hold that? What you need is you need to hear it from somebody who's ready to teach. You need to hear it from somebody who might have a little bit of a stronger grasp on the subject. And so when I thought about what does it look to be a good teacher, here's some markers, wow. I thought nothing looks better than this swagged out tweed vest or tweed jacket. One day you're all going to be in college, and this is going to be what your professors wear all the time. I'll let you know that. Also, Goodwill, $5, don't at me, is awesome. So class is in session, and we're going to talk about what is love. So the very first thing, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to start and read verses 7 and 8. And John writes, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not, and anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." So what John shows us right there, what is love? Answering this equation, the very first thing that we need to understand about what is love is that God is love. John says right there, he says two very, very important things for us here. Number one, that love is from God. God created the world, and when he created the world, he breathed life into everything, and he created us in his own image. And so since God is love, that means that love is from God. That means when he created us with the ability to feel love and experience love to everybody else. But not only has he given us the ability to feel love, experience love, what John says as well is that God is love. His nature is love. Let me ask you this question. When somebody thinks about you, What's one of the first things that you think that might come to their mind? Shout them out. Anything. Okay. Do what? All right. If somebody thinks about you, what's one of the first things that comes to their mind? All right. I heard blah, 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 but I'm sure there was a lot of good answers. So, for instance, if somebody were to think about me, they would probably think about, you know, like sports, athletics, Kentucky, all those things. They would think about those things because those are things that make up who I am. Those are part of my personality. That's part of the things I like. Well, in the same way, when we think about God, the first thing that should come to our mind is the idea of love, because God is love. That's part of his nature. And we see that throughout the Bible. Let's hop in the way, way back machine for a second and go all the way back to the Old Testament, all the way back to Genesis. Genesis, they're in the garden. Adam and Eve sinned before God. And what did God do? He didn't just sit there and wipe the slate clean. God gave them a second chance. God gave them compassion. God gave them forgiveness. God gave them a way out. You look all throughout the Old Testament. You got Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. God spared their life. You look at the exile, and there's this period of time where people stopped following God and worshiping God. God didn't just like wipe the floor with everybody. God continued to give compassion, forgiveness. God continued to give a way out. And you look even in our lives today, all the times that we lie, all the times that we spread rumors, all the times that we disrespect our parents, all the times that we sin before God, that in all of those moments, in all of those occasions, God has every right to sit there and wipe the slate clean. God has every right to leave us. God has every right to forsake us. But what does he do time and time and time and time again? He offers forgiveness. He offers compassion. He offers a second chance. He offers a way out. And why does he do that? Because God is love. First and foremost, when we try and break down this equation of what is love, the very first thing we need to understand is we need to understand the God we serve, and we need to understand that he is love. He is the definition. He is the example. He is everything about love. Quite honestly, when we sit here and we take a dictionary and we open up to the word love, the example it should give us is God, because that's who he is. So number one, what is love? The equation, what is love? How can we know what love is? First off, we need to know that God is love, that we serve a God of love. And we serve a God of love who has expressed that love to us. So continuing on, 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10, John writes, he says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this love, in this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins." A lot of big words there, but quite honestly, what God is saying here is that God loved us so much that he sent his Son into this world. Y'all, can I take this jacket off? Is that okay? Like, will y'all still respect me if I take it off? Cool. I'm just going to fold it and put it right here. I'm sorry. It was really hot, but $5 well spent. So here's the thing. God is love, and how did he express that love to us? Now I feel stupid. I'm sorry. All right. God is love, and how did he express that love to us? He expressed that love in Jesus. He expressed that love to us in Jesus. Jesus is the result of this great love that God has for us. And it says, John writes right there, that God showed his love for us, that he sent Jesus into this world. And there's that big fancy word used there called propitiation. And if you heard that and you're like, wow, like, first off, understand, it took me a while to be able to say that without stuttering. But that word propitiation, quite honestly, what it means is it is a payment to appease. It is a payment to satisfy. So anybody, by show of hands, anybody had any run-ins with the mob before? Just me? The mob? Because I'm from a bad neighborhood, y'all. But if you had any run-ins with the mob, chances are that we're familiar with how they operate. That maybe there's somebody who is indebted to the mob. There's somebody that owes some money to Polly or something like that. Because I figure, yeah, I know, like, Polly's a mean dude. But here's the thing. Way off track right now. But here's the thing. So, for instance, say that we owe a great debt to Polly. Let's just lean into it. We owe a great debt. there's nothing that we can do to pay it back. There's no action, there's no amount of money that we can pay to get out of that debt, but somebody were to come in behind us and pay that debt for us. Essentially, that's what a propitiation is. That's what Jesus did for us. God demonstrated his love for us in that he sent Jesus to die on the cross, to die the death that we deserved. So all that talk that we talked about Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, exile, all the sin that we've done in our lives, every sin that we've committed up to this point in our lives, and every sin that we will commit in the future, God sits there because he is loving and compassionate to us. He's given us a second chance. And that second chance is seen primarily through what Jesus did on the cross. So God is love. Jesus is the result of that. And we're able to experience the love of God through a relationship with Jesus. That's the only way that we're able to fully experience the love of God. And maybe you're here tonight and man, you've grown up in church. You know the stories. You've been to Vacation Bible School every year. You've been to Fuge every year. Beach breakaways, fall retreats, everything like that under the blue sun. You know the answers. But none of that will ever satisfy outside of a close, personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my fear, is that sometimes we sit here and we think, man, I know a lot about Jesus, so I'm saved. Knowing a lot about Jesus does not count as having a relationship with him. We will never fully experience, we will never fully know the love of Jesus if we're not in a close, personal relationship with him. And when we're in that close personal relationship with Jesus, not only do we experience the love of God, but we understand our responsibility to show the love of God to everyone else. So that equation of love, what is love? First off, God is love. He loved us. He sent Jesus as the result of that love. But now, when I experience love, when I experience that relationship, that I'm a messenger of that love. That I'm to go and I'm to share that love with everyone else. Finishing off this passage in 1 John 4, verses 11 and 12, John writes, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us." God loved us, and our command because of that is that we love others. That we show the love of God to others. And John says, nobody's ever seen God. We've never seen face to face what God looks like. I don't know if he has freckles. I gotta think he's got a sweet beard. But I don't know what God looks like. None of us will ever know what God looks like. But how do we know? The closest picture that we're gonna get of seeing God face to face here on this earth is gonna be seen in each and every one of us. When we're living out, being the hands and feet of Jesus, when we're loving the unlovable, when we're loving the people that need the love of God. God is love. God sent Jesus into this world, and he equipped us to be a messenger of that love. Let's review here just a second. How did Jesus love us? How did God love us? Jesus. Very good. God loved us. He sent Jesus. And what did Jesus do for us ultimately? He loved us. Whoa, what's that word? Say it loud. He saved us. So right there, if y'all said it over here, sorry, I was so like fixated over here. God is love. How did God show his love to us? He sent Jesus to save us. And how do I love others? Well, I do the same thing. Just like Jesus, I go to save other people. Now understand that I personally, Hunter, I cannot save any of you. I cannot tell you the stories. I cannot sing or dance or do anything. I can't dunk you in water. Nothing that I can do for you personally can save you. But what I do have as a follower of Christ is I do have the message of the gospel. I do have the message of what Jesus did for us. I do have the message that can save you. And what my responsibility is as a believer, what your responsibility is as a believer, is that we show the love of God, that we are a messenger, that we tell the world about the love of God. We tell the world about the love of a Savior. We tell the world about a God who loves us no matter what. And that means that we have to go and we have to share the gospel with people. That we have to go and we have to love the unlovable. We have to love the weird people at our schools. We have to love the people that have no friends. We have to love everybody we come in contact with the love of Jesus. Because that's what we're called to do, because we are called, because we serve a God of love. He's loved us and he loves other people. God loves other people. And he has given us the ability to show that love to everybody else. So as we close things out, we're about to split up in small groups, but quite honestly, what I want to oppose to you guys is that we look at this board, we look at this equation right here. What is love? What is love? Hopefully we've been able to define what love is, but what I want us to be able to leave here thinking as we go into our small groups is this: where am I in this equation? Where am I in this equation? I know that God is love, but man, that love is not something that I'm truly satisfied in, that I'm still trying to serve other gods, and I'm serving sports and school and, you know, college one day and boyfriends and girlfriends and mom and dad, and I've built up these idols in my life that God is just one of my many idols. That maybe what we need to leave here with is we need to wrestle and we need to get to this point of understanding that God truly is the only thing that we should truly love in our life. God is number one in our life. Or maybe we're here, like we talked about, number two, that Jesus is the result of that love. That, man, I know God, I know the stories, I know all these things, but I do not personally have a relationship with Jesus. That maybe that's the thing that we need to wrestle with. Or maybe we're just sitting here thinking, like, Hunter, you told me that I need to be a messenger for the gospel. You told me that I need to be hands and feet of Jesus, that I need to live sent to make disciples. And man, you said that, and the first thing that popped in my mind was fill in the blank at my school. The first person that popped in my mind was that girl I sit next to in class. The first person that popped in my mind was that person that I'm on the sports team with. The first person that popped in my mind is that person in my small group in my Sunday school that I know doesn't know the love of Christ, that doesn't have a close personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That maybe tonight is a time that we just need to pray and we need to prepare ourselves, that we need to grab some friends aside and say, guys, I want to share the gospel. I'm terrified. Will you pray with me that I'll be strong enough and I'll be brave enough to share the gospel with somebody? That maybe tonight's one of those nights that we need to answer that. But hopefully, overall, we know what love is when we leave this place, that we know what love is because it is a God who loved us. It is a God who sent his son to die for us. And it is a God who has given us, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, he has entrusted us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given us the gospel with the task to tell others about it. I want to pray, have a few announcements, and then we'll break up into small groups. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who loves us. Lord, we thank you that above all else, we serve a God who is strong, who is powerful, who created the whole world, who is so bigger, so much bigger and so much better than I could ever be, but you still want a personal relationship with us. And God, we're grateful for that, and we're grateful that you demonstrated that love for us through your son. We're grateful at the fact that we can have salvation, that we can have freedom from our sin. And Lord, I pray for those that are here tonight that maybe don't know what that relationship looks like, that maybe need to be re-reminded, rededicated on that relationship. Lord, that tonight would be a night that we see life change happen. But God, also that tomorrow, Lord, as we talk about being messengers, that tomorrow would be a day that we see revival happen here in Huntsville, Alabama, Lord. God, help us live sent to make disciples. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.